وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين. To your duas, Hazrat Maulana Saleem Saab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choices, blessings upon you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all your sacrifices. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, I came across a story, you know, narrated by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and it's something very, very important regarding making a mockery of Islam. So there are many people who, despite their claims to Islam, seek to find fault with or disparage its teachings or beliefs or make a mockery of Islam. So Maulana says, in the early days we used to travel to India by boat. It took us 21 days to reach Bombay. During my third year, when I was traveling back to India, I met a doctor on the boat. So in a conversation, he said to me, Maulana, you people talk about the angels, that each person has an angel on his right shoulder and on his left shoulder, and these angels record the deeds of a person. In the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. These angels, kiraman katibin, they are the one who record your deeds, and they know, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, what you do. So if this is the situation, then our shoulders would have been so broad that we would not have found a coat to fit us. So after this argument this person put forward, Maulana told him, in turn, I questioned him, you must have attended school. So he replied, yes. So I asked him, from what class one took matric? So he replied, yes. Then he said, Maulana asked him, you furthered your studies doing medicine? Again, he said, yes. Then he said, I continued, you attended university, traveled to different countries. I'm sure you remember all this. So then he said, I said, if I were to take you to your hometown, you will remember much. All this knowledge which you acquired during your life, through your studies and travels, where is it? It is stored in your brain. Yet if the situation is as you say it is, your head would have been so big that you would not have found a head to fit it. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala put this response in my mind, Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab says, and which inshallah disproved the person's crooked mentality and thinking. So sarcasm or cynicism in regards to deen is extremely dangerous. It takes one to the threshold of kufr, sometimes even out of the fold of Islam. So if a person says that he believes, it means that he hears and understands and accepts that there are many things which are beyond the human intellect. Iman is bil-ghayb, in the unseen. There are many things which we do not see, but which we believe exist. The air that we breathe, the different bacteria and germs in the atmosphere, which the eyes does not see, but science has informed us of its existence. Or we see the signs of it. For the signs of Allah Ta'ala all around us, even in us. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ Allah Ta'ala says, on the earth are signs for those of assured faith, and also in your own selves. Will you not then see? We may not see the angels, or pull sirat, the bridge across Jahannam, or Jannah and Jahannam, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who saw the unseen. And our firm belief is in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as it is the duty of the blind person to put his hand into the hand of the one who sees, that is, if he wants direction, guidance, and wants to reach his destinations, he wants guidance and he wants to reach his destination safely, so too it's our duty to put our hands into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that we hear amanna saddaqna, you know, and ata'na, meaning that we hear, we accept and obey. Otherwise, criticizing and mocking any aspect of deen is indirectly mocking or finding fault with the creator of deen with grievous consequences. Here he makes dua and he says, may Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding as well as the appreciation for the beautiful and perfect deen of Islam. So this is a nice story by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, which he has mentioned in one of his trips. We must also be very cognizant that we do not say or do the wrong things, you know, when it comes to any matters of deen. There's another story I came across. The King Akbar was very, very famous during the Mughal Empire, his childishness. So Akbar was a Mughal king of India. So many regard him as an intelligent, bold, and they would shower praises on him. So one of his ministers, Birbal, is often regarded as foolish. But the facts are quite different. Akbar was not a very clever person. He was not even fit to be a king. So you will see in this story. So Emperor Akbar asked Birbal one day, this famous saying that it is difficult to fulfill the demands of three persons. A king's demands, a lady's, and a child's. I fail to understand. I accept that the king or lady might ask for something which is difficult to fulfill. But a child? I mean, what could a child possibly ask for which could not be fulfilled? So Birbal replied, the reality is that a child's obstinacy is the most difficult, requiring great wisdom, which is not possible for everybody. So Akbar said, now what need is there for wisdom? Anybody could fulfill a child's demand. So Birbal then told the emperor, he said, very well, I shall behave like a child. You fulfill my tantrums. So Akbar said, okay. So consequently, now Birbal began to sob like a child. This sort of foolish behavior was common in Akbar's court. Then Akbar asked, why are you crying? Birbal replied, I want an elephant. Immediately, Akbar ordered an elephant from the royal stables and stated, Subhanallah, what difficult task did you request? Then Birbal started crying again. So why are you crying now? Asked Akbar. He said, I want a small pot, replied Birbal. So instantly Akbar ordered a pot from the bazaar and commented, what was so difficult about this then? Again Birbal began to cry. What's up now? Asked Akbar. He said, place the elephant into the pot, cried Birbal. Dumbfounded, Akbar now realized how difficult it is to fulfill a child's tantrums. Puzzled, Akbar commented, you added that only a wise person could fulfill a child's obstinacy. When a child is obstinate, there's only a wise person will be able to fulfill it. Well, how is that possible? So Birbal replied, if intelligence is present, everything is easy. So Akbar added, now very well, now I shall behave like a child and you fulfill my desires. So the emperor began to sob like a child. So why do you cry? Asked Birbal. He said, I want an elephant. So Birbal dispatched a servant to the market to purchase a toy elephant. This was presented to Akbar. So he started wailing again, and Birbal asked, "What are you crying now? Or why are you crying now? What do you want?" So Akbar replied, "I want a pot." So Birbal arranged for a pot to be present. So Akbar cried again. "What's up now?" asked Birbal. She said, "Put the elephant into the pot," screamed Akbar. So Birbal obliged by placing the toy elephant into the pot. So Akbar was now silenced. So Birbal commented, "You displayed misjudgment in fulfilling the child's demand for an elephant by ordering a real animal from the stables. What you should do is fulfill a child's demands in accordance with what is appropriate for him or her." Now this leaves us a message here that you always deal with a person according to his level. So when you come deal with a child, you come down to the level of a child. And Birbal showed the king a very, very important lesson in dealing with the other people. So Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah, that was quite interesting. And then there's a story of the fruits of labor. So there once lived a rich businessman who had a lazy and fun-loving son. Now, it's very, very important that we grow up our children not to be lazy. And in spite of all the resources you have, teach them to be responsible. So this boy hated hard work and enjoyed relaxing and playing all day long. But the businessman wanted his son to be hardworking and responsible. He wanted him to realize the value of labor and effort. He didn't want his son to be lazy. So one day he called his son and said, "Today, I want you to go out and earn something. If you don't, then you won't have your meals tonight." So the boy was careless and cunning and not used to any kind of work. This demand by his father scared him, and he went crying straight to his mother. So her heart melted at the sight of tears in her son's eyes. She grew restless. In a bid to help him, she gave him a gold coin. So in the evening, when the father asked his son what he had earned, so the son promptly presented him with a gold coin, thinking that the father would think that the boy had earned the money from doing some work. But the father asked the boy to throw the gold coin into the well, so the son did as he was told. Then the father was a man of wisdom and experience, and guessed that the coin was given to him by the boy's mother. So the next day he sent his wife to a parent's town and asked his son to go and earn something, with the threat of being denied the night meals if he failed. This time he went crying to his sister, who sympathized with him and gave him a rupee out of her own savings. So when his father asked him what he had earned, the boy showed the money that his sister had given him. The father again asked him, "Go throw it into the well." So the son did it quite readily. Again the father's wisdom told him that the coin was not earned by his son. He then sent his daughter to her in-law's house. He again asked his son to go out and earn, with the threat that he shall not have anything for dinner that night. But this time, since there was no one to help him out, the son was forced to go to the market in search of work. So one of the shopkeepers there told him that he would pay him 2 rupees if he carried his trunk to his house. So the rich man's son could not refuse and was drenched in sweat. And by the time he finished the job, his feet were trembling and his neck and back were aching, and there were even rashes on his back. Now, as he returned home and he produced the 2 rupees before his father and was asked to throw it into the well, the horrified son almost cried out. He could not imagine throwing away his hard-earned money like this. So sobbing, he said, "My father, Baba, my entire body is aching. My back has rashes, and you are asking me to throw this money into the well?" At this, the old man smiled. He told him that the person feels the pain only when the fruits of hard labor are wasted. On the previous 2 occasions, he was helped by his mother and sister, and therefore had no pain in throwing the coin into the well. So now the son had by then realized the value of hard work. What you earn very, very hard, with hard work, and you sweat, you just don't want to throw it away. So he vowed never to be lazy, and he would look after his father's wealth. So the father handed him the keys of his business and promised to guide him and help him for the rest of his life. So that's an interesting story, that we must teach our children to be hardworking and appreciative of all the ni'mats that they have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to learn, to practice, and to teach our children good manners. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.